These daily programs are dedicated to a discussion of the great issues of life and death in the Bible. We at Atlanta Bible College have spent much time with the Bible on these topics. We would like to be thought of as truth seekers. Our object is to question some of the traditions which have been widely accepted, sometimes without careful investigation. We represent a very clear tradition of our own, with roots far back in history. Many of our predecessors in the search for truth were men with a passion for God's Word. We are firm believers in the Bible as a revelation from a loving God who is working out a marvelous plan on the earth. We have called our listeners' attention to some striking differences between the way the Bible speaks about death and the way we seem to hear Christians speak of it today. Our intention is to be constructive. We bring the finest that we can muster in the way of scholarship, knowledge of the original languages, and so on, to the business of finding out what the Bible says. We are certainly not alone in our conviction that tradition very easily obscures what the Bible has to say to us. Take, for instance, the cherished idea that death means going to heaven or hell as a disembodied spirit. Now, where did Jesus clearly speak of any such thing? Oh, there might be one or two verses which, if you read them without regard to what the whole of the rest of the Bible says, could support the commonly held idea that heaven or hell is the destiny of man at death. But our research must be more thorough. It must take in the mass of evidence and not just work out of a couple of verses in the New Testament. First, we should have a good look at what the scriptures known to Jesus have to say about death and the afterlife. The Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, has much to say on this subject. Just take a concordance and look up the word sleep, and you'll be amazed how often death is called sleep. Now, if death is like sleeping, it really would be extraordinary, not to say misleading, if the Bible meant that we are conscious after we die. The point of using sleep as a metaphor for death is that sleep is a time when we are not conscious of our surroundings. I have before me a little Bible dictionary. For years I've read all I can get my hands on this fascinating topic of death and the hope of life after death. I turn to the entry under the word death. Here's what I read. I quote, "The belief of the Hebrews about the condition of the dead was this. They were in a state of unconsciousness and silence." Three verses are then quoted. Let me give them to you. First, Psalm 88, verses 10 to 12. "Will you perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise you? Will your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Will your wonders be made known in the darkness, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" Now, what is your impression about death as the inspired David described it? It seems beyond question that death is a place of darkness and silence, where there can be no praise of God. Death is the loss of all that makes existence a joy for us. In Psalm 94, verse 17, David spoke of his soul, that is himself, remaining in the abode of silence. Again, he was referring to death. Then there's Psalm 115, verse 17, which says this, "The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence." So the dead can have no communication with God. I turn to a Bible encyclopedia and I read this about death. I quote again, "Body and soul return to a state of death and remain in the underworld, Sheol or Hades. The dead do no more work, take no account of anything, possess no knowledge or wisdom, and have no further share in anything done under the sun. The dead are asleep." End of quotation. Scores of times, indeed, the dead are said to fall asleep in the Old Testament. Does the Old Testament then leave us with nothing better than silence and unconsciousness to look forward to? Absolutely not. It holds out the hope of a return from the underworld of death by resurrection of the whole person, who will join the living once again. Listen to the marvelous words of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2, verse 6. I quote, "The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up." Daniel spoke of the state of the dead in the clearest terms, but he also looked forward to the time when they are going to come back from death. Daniel 12, verse 2 is a text to post on fridge doors. I quote, "Many of those who are sleeping in the dust of the earth will awake, some to life in the coming age." We want to put it to you that that verse simply confirms what everything else from Genesis onwards had said about death and the state of man in death. Daniel 12:2 teaches that the dead are sleeping right up to the moment they're resurrected. Sleep, in other words, is the condition of the dead from the second they die until the moment they're brought to life again by resurrection. Now, what could possibly be difficult about the understanding of death as presented by the Holy Scriptures? It's crystal clear, and yet it's a strange thing, but even good students of the Bible do not care at all for Daniel's idea of death as sleep awaiting the resurrection. In fact, they dislike the idea so much that they sometimes try to dismantle it. Here's what they do. They react by saying, only the bodies of the dead sleep. The real person never sleeps. They just live on. I want to speak from the heart here. If that is what you do with Daniel 12:2, may I point out that you are not being fair with God's word. Daniel never said a word about bodies sleeping as distinct from persons. To make that kind of distinction only proves that Greek philosophy has taken its toll on our thinking, has confused us. Daniel said that the dead, that is, dead persons, are sleeping in the dust till the resurrection. Now, that really is not difficult. My five-year-old has no problem at all about grasping what Daniel says. Just as she closes her eyes at night, so it will be at death. She may sleep for hours and hours, but she will be entirely unaware of the passing of time. But time will have passed nevertheless. When she awakes, she returns to conscious life. That's exactly what the Bible teaches about death and life after death. From Genesis to Malachi, the story is entirely consistent. Death is a going down to Sheol or Hades, the underworld, and passing out of conscious existence. Verse after verse shows this. Bible dictionaries and commentaries are united in their testimony that that's what the Bible teaches. Well, you may say, Jesus changed all that. He taught that the dead never die. They're immediately conscious in heaven the second they die. So the dead are very much alive, and they're even aware of what we the living are doing. This view is most problematic. Jesus was not in the habit of changing the Old Testament. If he did wish to introduce something new, he made it entirely clear. But Jesus, as I think I can show you, agreed with the Old Testament view of death as sleep. The 11th chapter of John contains a precious teaching about death from the lips of Jesus. We invite you to consider this carefully. You will remember that Jesus' friend Lazarus had become ill and died. Jesus arrived on the scene after the dead man had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now listen particularly to how Jesus speaks of death. He is our Christian example. His words should be ours. Here is what Jesus said in John 11, verse 11. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to awaken him out of sleep. We should pay attention to the fact that Jesus did not use language like Lazarus has gone home, or crossed over, or gone to heaven, or even passed away. No, Jesus said that Lazarus had fallen asleep, and he's dead. His intention was to waken him from the sleep of death. Observe also that Jesus did not say, as I hear people saying today, that only Lazarus' body had died while the real Lazarus had gone somewhere else. No, Lazarus is the name of the person, surely. Lazarus, said Jesus, had fallen asleep. And Lazarus, not Lazarus' body, needed to be woken up. This really is not difficult at all. When Jesus said that his friend had fallen asleep, he meant, of course, that he had fallen asleep and was asleep. This is obvious because of Jesus' next statement. He intended to wake Lazarus from sleep. Jesus' use of the word sleep puzzled the disciples for a moment. Was Jesus talking of natural sleep or death? Jesus cleared up all doubts. In John 11:14, he said this, Lazarus is dead. Now, it's quite untrue to say that believers cannot die. Jesus says they can and do. Lazarus is dead, Jesus said. Then in that wonderful verse, John 11:43, we have the report of Jesus' amazing, commanding words as he called Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus, come out! And John says, he who had died came out of the tomb. It's essential that we not complicate this matchless story by saying that Lazarus' soul came back from heaven where Lazarus had been fully conscious. That would be to read our own tradition into the Bible. We see from this account that Jesus' theology of death as a sleep is exactly that of the Old Testament. He has not introduced any revolutionary teaching about souls departing and being conscious while the body is dead. On the contrary, Jesus said that Lazarus needed to be woken up from the sleep of death. What I find so interesting is that Jesus and Job shared exactly the same understanding of what happens when we die. Listen to the language of Job about death. In Job 3:13, Job contemplates death and says, "Now I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept and been at rest." That is exactly what Jesus said about Lazarus. Then in Job 14, verse 12, we read this, "A man who has fallen asleep in death will certainly not rise again. Until the heavens be no more, they shall not awaken from their sleep." Now listen to Jesus. "I'm going to awaken Lazarus out of his sleep." John 11:11. "I'm sure you'll be struck, as I was when I began to study this whole subject many years ago, with the simplicity of Job's and Jesus' grasp of the mystery of life and death." Once more from Job 21, verses 13 and 26, I quote, "Man falls asleep and rests in Hades. They lie down to sleep in the earth together, and corruption covers them." Now that is simple and clear. That is what death is, a lying down to rest and sleep until the resurrection. The sleep of the dead is a most biblical doctrine found in the Old Testament and right out of the lips of Jesus himself. What a tragedy if we should label that teaching a cultish view. How disastrous it would be if we were to accuse our Savior of not holding our so-called orthodox understanding. Have you sometimes wondered how welcome Jesus would be in our churches? There's room for some profound meditation here. May God give us grace to seek wisdom from the pure springs of the teachings of Jesus. The Apostle John, you'll remember, said that those who hold on to the teachings of Jesus are the ones who have a relationship with God and his Son. 2 John verse 9. If you are following our discussion, you may like to contact us for some free literature for your personal study on these critical issues of life and death. Our phone number will be given at the end of this program. Meanwhile, may God bless you in your study of his word and your search for truth.